It is a privilege
to worship God
and be with those who care about His Word and who are interested in being faithful in this life that we might see Him in the other life. We're thankful for you. I can't reiterate that enough, because we know that there are a lot of places that you could be this morning, not just other congregations. But a lot of distractions happen on the Lord's Day in our lives, especially in our society. It's a work day. It is a recovery day. It is a day for everything to interrupt your desire to worship and to serve and think about God. So we're thankful for that. God, in His infinite wisdom, created this beautiful word, love. He created it, and then in His holy book, He's given us a picture of what love is. Now, you will hear in this lesson some descriptions, definitions. You'll hear about relationship. You'll hear about connection and about being genuine, or as we often hear today, authentic. Those will come together to give you this picture of God's love, especially as it pertains to our sisters. We mentioned this morning earlier, today is International Women's Day. It's a day set aside throughout the world to celebrate the contributions, the value, and the wonderful commitment that women have in the role of our society. And God has already elevated women to an admirable, wonderful role. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's talk about this section. I don't believe you can really at least touch on love without talking about relationships. The relationship that man and God have is one based on love. It's based on the value that God has placed in us as human beings, because He loved us enough to send His own Son to die. That alone tells you that your life and my life are special to God. And anyone who has a problem, an issue, a difficulty, if you're in grief or in pain, and you are even considering taking your own life, I implore you to seek help. I implore you to talk to someone that you will understand this is a permanent solution, because all of life's problems are temporary. You can get through. Don't fall to despair, because God does love us. Peter introduces this section: wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves by being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together with the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. That is a long description. And as we think about the intricacies of what Peter lays out, think about what we're describing. We're describing a relationship that is based on love. Now, we know that Peter, serving as an elder, the Apostle Peter, serving as an elder, the same word that the Bible uses for bishop, shepherd, presbyter, pastor, or overseer, implies that he was married. And so in writing this, we can at least understand that Peter knew something about marriage. He knew something about relationships. And specifically, as he is guided by the pen of the Holy Spirit in writing these things, we can understand, first of all, what it means to be authentic. Now, you hear this word a lot today. Be authentic. And what is implied is that we live in a world or a society where you can't be honest. You can't tell people the truth. You can't show your real self because people will either reject you or they may look at you kind of strangely, or they may decide that what you're saying is just easily dismissed out of hand. But you should value what you have to say enough that it's truly who you are. So most of that is what they mean by authentic. What does the Bible mean by it? Well, the English word love stems from both a noun and a verb. The etymology of its origin is Middle English, Lufu, akin to the old High German, Luba, which is love, or the old English, Elo, dear. So love dear, or to please. The Greeks understood our one word for love in various ways. For example, it's often applied for sensual desire, eros. It is often applied for friendship, phileo. It is also applied for the parental love, storge, and then its highest form in the Greek lexicon is agape. When I think about those things, I get a picture of a different characteristic of what love is. So when I say I'm going to be authentic as a Christian, I'm going to show genuinely as a Christian God through my love. I don't know anything about love without God, amen? The first thing I can tell you about love is that the love of man is selfish. Let's be honest, it is, it's selfish. The love of man seeks its own. It is puffed up. It is boastful. It is arrogant. It does hold a grudge. It will seek vindication or be vindictive. And yet all of the opposites of that are what is described in 1 Corinthians 13 as the characteristics of godly love. So I know that that's what man's love is. I've experienced it. I have demonstrated it, sadly. So first of all, Peter wants us to understand none of this works. So we're going to start really from the bottom and then go forward. You may have never heard a sermon preached backwards, but that's what we're going to do. If we think about verse 8 first, think about where we're going, where Peter is going with the thought, and then come to the beginning of the chapter. He says, finally, all of you be of one mind. Now, who's the all of you? He's talking about husbands and wives, but also by extension, brothers and sisters. Should I treat my sister in Christ any differently than my wife, other than the personal affection or the intimate relationship? Really, Peter says no. The same qualities with which you treat someone with kindness, compassion, long-suffering, forgiveness, being courteous, considerate, that should be the same way that I see you treat your husband or wife at home. That's love. When I demonstrate something that's true, it's authentic because I'm following after the pattern that God showed. Now, what pattern is that? God is love. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilt, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. And then it goes on, Exodus chapter 34, verse 5. But Moses says, this is God. You want to see love, look at God. Look at how he's treated man. Look at how he's guided man. And so Peter goes back to that and says, be of one mind. You are Christians. It is not an accident then that God expects you to show love. And especially in the closest of relationships between you and your wife, wives and your husband, this love ought to be supreme. In the way you talk to, speak to, and treat one another, this ought to be supreme. Every other husband ought to look at the way you treat your wife and say, I can do better. Amen? Now think about that. In this sense, and really by extension, a Christian is concerned with how other people see them. I am concerned with what other people think about me because what I want them to think, I want to direct their thoughts toward God. So I want them to see God through me. So Peter doesn't want this to be mistaken and think, well, this is just for husbands or this is just for wives. He wants you and I to understand this is something demonstrated by every Christian. And the lack thereof, if we don't show these things, we're falling short of it. So young people, how do you treat your classmates? Adults, how do you treat your coworkers? How do you treat your neighbors? How do you treat that guy you can't get along with? How do you treat that girl or woman who gossips about you? Do you treat him with love? He says, verse 9, having compassion for one another. That's giving to someone something they don't deserve. I saw a graph the other day that says, this is what you know about people. This is their whole life. Be forgiving. You don't know what anyone else is going through. And I thought, that's a great picture of compassion. God knew all of this about me. This is how much I knew about God. But yet he sent his son to die for me. Why? Because he shows compassion. It's being able to look at someone and give them the benefit of the doubt in the situation that you're in the relationship. And so we ought to honor one another. Specifically, we'll spend some time in the latter part of this talking about with wives and sisters. So let's keep going. He says, love as brothers. Now he kind of hits on that idea of brotherly love. Phileo. It is the same love that Peter responded when Jesus came to him after the resurrection and said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, I love you. He responded in Phileo. I have a brotherly affection. Right now, seeing you, I'm willing to die. Don't you remember? When the servant of the high priest came, I was ready to take his head off. All I got was an ear. I love you. I love you. You are my brother. But then Jesus asked him again, Peter, do you love me? He said, listen, I just told you, yes, I love you. As much as another man can love a man, I love you. But he says, there's something else. There's a higher form of love that I want you to show for my people, your people. He says, my lambs. That's agape love. Are you willing, not just to fight for, are you willing to sacrifice for? See, this is the difference between Peter the fighter and Peter the godly warrior. Tell me one part of Jesus' sacrifice that was weak and timid. Tell me when Jesus was timid, when he stood there and they slapped him and beat him and spit on him. Tell me when Jesus was a weak man, when they put a crown of thorns on his head, or when they beat him within 1 inch of life. Tell me how unmanly Jesus was. But that strikes at the heart of love. See, it's one thing to defend someone who's suffering innocently. It's another thing to put yourself in their place. Right? Most people, you're walking through the mall and you see some guy haul back and slap a girl in the face. You would say something. You'd say, I don't care what has happened. You don't treat another person that way, especially a woman. But would you step in and say, you can slap me? I'll take it for her. It's a whole different conversation. That's what Jesus did. And he didn't do it innocently. He did it when we deserved the beating. We deserved the punishment. That adds a whole different layer of love. That's what Peter was trying, or what Jesus was trying to get Peter to see. That's what Peter wants you and I to see. Do we have sacrificial replacement love? The heart of that is compassion. If I have compassion for you, then I can begin to build the strength for the next step to sacrifice for you. Some of you all here are young, right? You got some brothers here. Would you take their spanking for them? When they broke something that you liked, would you take it for them? Or would you say, told you you were going to get it? Sacrificial love. You got to make it personal. This is what the Bible describes as authentic love. Let's keep reading. Consider God's nature, his name, his character. All these things are implied when we say God is love. It's the entirety of God. It is everything that we describe about him. His perfect harmony, balance, goodness, righteousness, everything that we learn about him, God expects us to demonstrate. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the way. Show us the Father. And it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you? Ye have not known me, Philip. Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto thee are from him. Jesus, in John chapter 14, that's John 14, 6 through 11, is describing something to the apostles about what they see and know. When I read the Bible, when I read about being loving to brothers and tenderhearted and compassionate, God says, you know what it is. You know what it looks like. So we don't have any excuse. Let's keep going. He says, love as brothers, be tender hearted. There's some of that sacrificial love. You don't give someone the full brunt of your anger or the full brunt of the punishment or the consequence. This is the person who is not easily riled up. They don't fly off the handle. They don't take every little thing personal as an attack to me personally. They're willing to do what Jesus did, and that is absorb. Tell me how many times that as a man, Jesus would have said, I'm going to go find 12 more apostles because these 12 I have are not going to make They are grating on me. They are wearing me down, and I'm tired of it. I'm going to find 12 more. But Jesus was the perfect example of God in the flesh. Jesus came to represent more than just man. Because if he had, you know what he would have represented? Moses. That's the best example of man's love. Moses says, stop grumbling, stop complaining, don't ask me for nothing else, I'm tired of this, and he struck that rock. He struck it. And every one of us can identify with Moses in that moment to say, man, I would be in the same position. I would be so frustrated with them constantly not listening, not following after God. But that put Moses in the same position with God. That's what Jesus knew. When we're not tenderhearted, we are putting ourselves in the same position of Moses, and we're going to miss it. And we're going to suffer, just like he did. Because that's not the heart of God. The heart of God says, be tenderhearted. A Christian must always embody love. That's the tenderheartedness. Be courteous, honor, affirm. Look around you and then sustain the idea that there's something good about this person. And I'm going to honor and lift that up. That's courtesy. I'm putting you before me. We all learn that in kindergarten, right? Let someone else go first. Ask and say please and thank you. Those kind of very elemental things is what helps us to embody love. God does not desire for attention, affection, or other things, but he does desire our devotion. He does desire us to learn the behavior that comes from understanding God's truth. Love, it's that sense that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, that we are to think on things good, pure, just, lovely, honorable. Let our minds dwell on those things because we understand that's what directs our action. You want to get to the point where you can be kind and courteous in everything with your friends, neighbors, and loved ones? Start with letting your mind dwell on those things. And Peter understands that. He goes on, he says, be courteous. Now let's go up. Verse 7, husbands likewise dwell with them with the understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Can we demonstrate the love of God without doing the will of God? I'll give you a trick. That's a quick question. The answer is no. We can't. We can't demonstrate his love without doing his will. So, husbands, it is his will that you ask and say please and say thank you and mean it from the heart. You're not just giving lip service to love. That's really what Peter is trying to narrow our focus in. And so he makes it even more specific when he says, dwell with them with the understanding. Nobody else, husbands, should understand your wife better than you. That takes work. That takes listening, paying attention, thinking, asking, interacting, and then genuinely reacting to it. Here's a good example. How many times you meet someone, they say, hi, my name is, or you say, hi, my name is, and then 5 minutes later, you forget their name. You say, wait a minute, I was listening. I heard it, I did, but you weren't thinking, I'm going to take this information and then I'm going to use it again. You listened, heard it, you understood it, then you moved on to something else. And if you do that, you won't remember the person's name. That's just an inkling of what happens in a relationship. You say, well, I know all about her. I know her parents. I know her favorite color. I know what flower she likes. I know what kind of her favorite food is. That's great. But you're going to forget that. It's not going to stick with you. Do you know what her dreams are? Do you know what her fear is? Do you know what inspires her? Do you know what her purpose for being a Christian is every day? Those kind of deep things that you will use, that's your job to find out. And you can only do that through love. Because in between doing all that, you got to do all the things of life. Amen. And you got to have a job, provide for yourself, interact, be devoted as a Christian, build a relationship, all of those things. And that's why Peter says these things seem to fall through the cracks. We don't do it intentionally. It's just like saying please. We don't intentionally say, I'm going to be rude and not say thank you. It's just we just get in the habit. You pick up your food through the drive-thru, you keep driving. That's their job to say thank you. Not for the Christian. It's important. It's a small thing, but it's important. So let's talk about quickly, 30 seconds on this weaker vessel thing. This is not about a weakness in the sense of less value. It is not diminished in the light of in any way. If we talk about value, you put husband and wife, you put them on the same level with God. And here is the issue. It's talking about relationship. It's talking about connection, how two things function together. We're in Texas. A lot of people have rifles, amen. If you don't have a rifle, maybe you've learned to shoot one. You know, you can use a rifle more effectively with a small tool. It's called a scope. If the scope is off, I don't care how beautiful that rifle is, you are not going to hit the target. Wait a minute. I'm strong. I got a career. I provided. Or as Archaic Time says, I put food on the table. Don't ask me for nothing else. So that's all men's idea of what being a husband is. That's not God's idea. Not from this. He says, well, with her as a weaker vessel, it is that she has some different needs. She has some different needs that you've got to figure out. And if you figure those out, you're going to work together so in harmony. It's just like that perfect scope and perfect rifle, and you're going to hit the target cinnamon. But if one is off, you can put in a lot of effort in the wrong direction because you don't understand the relationship. You don't understand how the two things connect together. Love helps us to understand. When we demonstrate things orderly according to what God has said, then we understand what it means to be one. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 for just a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I promise I won't keep you long. I know we're all up an hour early. I can see it in your faces. How many more minutes we got? All right, hang in there with me for 5 more minutes. We'll get there. Verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That is accomplished through love. I love you enough to learn the truth, speak the truth, and live the truth together because we have this relationship. We are trying to get to heaven together. I'm not going there before you or behind you. You're going to get there at the exact same time. But if we get there, we're going to have to help one another to do that. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. We're going to have to get there together through that agape love. And we do that by demonstrating his will. How do we know his will? We come together in harmony and belief on one truth, that the gospel is the one true avenue by which we might be saved. And then we continue to build on that with sound doctrine. Let's keep going. Verse 6, back to 1 Peter 3, verse 6. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. This idea of obey in our society really has gotten a bad rap. It's gotten a bad reputation, and not by accident. There is a reason why women don't want to say obey when they give their vows, and it's because of the way that that word expresses all the mistreatment, the abuse, condescension that men do to women. That's a fact. Now, that is not in this verse, because God says that's fundamental. That should be dismissed, because the first commandment with promise is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, with the strength. The second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Your wife is your neighbor. And if you're demonstrating love to her or lack of it in any other way than what fulfills the first command, you're sinning. It's sinful. Abuse. It's criminal. It's sinful. And there's no excuse for it for the Christian. But Sarah demonstrates the highest form of that. She has such admiration. And she was so inspired by Abraham's faithfulness. She wanted to give him the highest of compliments. You are Lord of my life as my husband. You have everything about me. You have my best interests at heart. Verse 5. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves with being submissive to their own husbands. There is an aspect of love that says, I love myself enough to carry myself as a Christian. And that's what Peter speaks to. Women, sisters, don't give in to society's view of beauty and their emphasis totally on the Instagram image of a wife or a woman. That does not exist. Amen? It just doesn't. And it's sad that our society values more the package than the heart of the woman in which that package is contained. But we as Christians have to emphasize that and value women's heart and honor that. That's what we speak to when we demonstrate God's love, the heart of a sister in Christ or of a co-worker or of a neighbor. How we treat them. Verse 4. He says, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So there's an implication, and they go together. Nothing out. You can be immodest by wearing something too short, too tight, too low cut, as much as you can be immodest by something over exaggerated. And it may not be over-exaggerated as being big and gaudy, but it just may be the very best one. You have to have everything that is designer and expensive, and that is your whole persona. That's garish. It's immodest. And brethren, we are tempted to do that, especially our sisters. You heard me say it in a sermon before, right? There's a difference between a Michael Kors bag, amen, and walking around with a Walmart sack for a purse. It's a different, it's a different status. People go, look at your different sisters. You got that Michael Kors. I've been beating up on Michael Kors. Louis Vuitton. whoever else is the most current fashion designer. It's a different status, especially in a city like the one we live in. There's a lot of status to what you wear, how you look, how you dress. Don't give in to that temptation, sister. Those things don't matter to God, and they don't matter to godly men. That's important. Last verse, right where we start. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Peter emphasized something powerful about love. Not only can it change relationships in marriage, and it does, women who show godly characteristics and qualities and righteousness, those men that they're married to or dating may not recognize, is Jesus you're attracted to, but it is. But also that changes the world around you. This works for every relationship, amen. You want to influence your friends? Be godly. You want to influence your family? Be godly. Show this kind of love. And if we do that, then we encapsulate being authentic Christians. We encapsulate being the loving people of God so that we become the light of the world. We become the epitome of what it means to honor one another by gender, by status, by race, by ethnicity, all of those things that society has to focus on to fit. God says, I already took care of that in the beginning if you live it. The message is perfect. Now, how perfectly are you striving to live it? That's what we left with this morning. Maybe something I've said has spurred your heart, pricked your thoughts, and made you want to be more loving as a Christian. Or maybe you've been challenged to say, my love hasn't been this kind of love, but I want it to be. God will help you starting at this moment. If you ask him genuinely, repenting of sin, we'll pray with you, we'll pray for you, as we stand, as we sing.